Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game less than 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL draft. And again, I will keep pumping this every time we talk about the draft, Caroline, that we will be live at Third and Home, which is the new bar out in Germantown, which is right there by First Horizon Park. Keep wanting to say First Tennessee Park. First Horizon Park. And it will be me, Chris Sanders, TD, Teron Davenport, our guru, and Mark Howard will be part of your Thursday night round one crew. Caroline will be out there with us as well. We will have the show streamed. And I've told everybody what you need to do if you're a big Titans fan, because you're going to be watching the draft, and I'm sure you're going to be watching on ESPN, and you'll hear what Mel Kiper has to say, and you'll hear what all those guys have to say, you know, breaking down the picks. But if you've got an iPad, if you've got a phone, if you got, a radio, you know, keep that with you all throughout the night, because we're going to be talking about the Titans the whole night and looking at every pick through the lens of the Titans. You know, who are the most important Titans needs? What do we think of each pick? So I think it can be one thing that when they go to commercial, flip to us, you know, mute that, turn us on or whatever. But I want to keep promoting that, because I think this is for Titan fans. I think it's going to be one of the most knowledgeable shows. Between TD's knowledge of the team and the draft and Chris Sanders and Mark Howard, I certainly think it's going to be one of the best draft shows for Titans fans out there. So a lot of people are talking about, what do you do at 22? The first round pick. So I'm going to throw this out there, Caroline. You brought up Azeez Ojulari.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he's there. Let's say there's a player there at 22 that you like. Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia, pass rusher. Jalen Phillips out of Miami, pass rusher. Greg Newsome II, corner out of Northwestern. Elijah Moore, wide receiver, Ole Miss. Tevin Jenkins, offensive tackle, Oklahoma State. Let's say all of those guys are sitting there, the potential Titans targets. Do you trade down? Knowing that if you trade down to the latter part of the first round or the second round, you'll still be able to probably get a Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota, or a Zaven Collins out of Tulsa, or, you know, one of these guys that's not as good. Eric Stokes out of Georgia, not as good as the first round guys, but good second round guys. Maybe those first round guys that we're talking about now, maybe Elijah Moore is still there when you trade down in the first round or into the second round. But it's a risk you take. And here's what trading down looks like, because I thought about this. We hear people say trade down all the time. And I've always said, what do you mean by trade down? Because the question with trading for anything is, what are you going to get? I'm mad David Poyle didn't sell Mikhail Granlund on Monday. But if the best he was being offered was a fifth round pick, then I kind of understand it. If he was being offered a first round pick, I don't have much time for it. So here's what trading down looks like. In 2020, three teams, New England at 23, Minnesota at 25, and Miami at 26, all traded down. Here's what they got. New England traded the 23rd overall pick to the Chargers for a second round pick and a third round pick, 37 and 71. So they don't pick in the first round, but they get two players, second round, third round. Those are guys I think that we think should be starters in the NFL. Minnesota trades down from 25 to San Francisco for their first at 31, a fourth at 117, and a fifth at 176. So you trade down a couple spots, and you get a fourth and a fifth. Fourth and fifths are not guaranteed to be NFL players. Miami trades from 26 to 30 with Green Bay, and they pick up a fourth. In 2019, Seattle trades down from 21 to 30 with Green Bay for a fourth and a fourth. Baltimore trades with Philadelphia for 22 to 25 for a fourth and a sixth. You see a recurring theme here? Everybody that's trading down in the 20s is picking up a fourth.
Right.
Unless you trade out, and then you, like New England, you pick up a second and a third. Indianapolis traded out of 26 in 2019 to Washington for a second and a 2020 second. So in this case, you'd be talking about a 2022 second. And in 2018, Baltimore traded the 22nd pick to Tennessee for a first and a fourth. That pick later became Rashawn Evans. So the one thing I keep saying that I kept seeing when I brought up teams that traded out of that spot-ish is you're picking up a fourth round pick. Unless you totally trade out of the first round. If you trade out of the first to the second, you pick up a third.
And I don't hate the idea of picking up a second round pick and also a second round pick in the future. I don't hate that.
Sure. I don't either. And next year, your second round pick, you'll have more knowledge.
Right.
You know, you'll have more draft knowledge to know, hey, this guy played a full college season. We had a full combine, full medical evaluation, full everything for your 2022 picks. Most general managers, though, and most coaches don't like the idea of pushing picks down the road. Now, sometimes somebody knocks your socks off, like when New Orleans traded up with Green Bay in order to get Marcus Davenport, and they traded two first-round picks. Then you'll say, okay, fine, here, take my first-round pick. But most of the time, you don't. So I guess that's the question. If all you're going to add in return is a fourth, and that seems what's most likely, would you rather take the guy you want between Newsom, Moore, Jenkins, Ojulari, Phillips, or would you rather it be the fourth? Now, just to see what a fourth-round pick is for the Titans, here's John Robinson's tenure with fourth-round picks. Are you ready?
Oh.
No fourth-round pick in 2016, no fourth-round pick in 2017, no fourth-round pick in 2018. Amani Hooker, good pick in the fourth round in 2019, no fourth-rounder in 2020. So J-Rob often trades the fourth-rounder. But the one player he did pick in the fourth round, Amani Hooker, is now slated to be a starter this year. So you're basically saying the 50-50 shot. I consider first-round picks should be Pro Bowlers. Second-round picks, half Pro Bowler, half starter. Third-round pick, starter. Fourth-round pick, half starter, half special teamer. Fifth, sixth, and seventh lottery tickets. That's how I consider the NFL draft. So an extra fourth-round pick is a 50-50 shot at a starting caliber player. Is it worth it to trade down in this year's draft? Because if you trade down, you'll still get there will still be one of these receivers, Bateman or Elijah Moore or Kadarius Toney or Rondale Moore, or one of those guys is still going to be there. Maybe not the best guy, maybe not Elijah Moore, but one of those guys is still going to be there. There's probably not a starting corner the caliber of Greg Newsom's if you trade out and he's sitting there. There's probably not. Now, again, the reviews on Ojulari are totally mixed. But Phillips is probably gone before 22. Ojulari, I don't think. If he's sitting there at 22 and you don't take him, kiss him goodbye. He's not coming here. What do you do? What would you do? Let's kick it around the room. Caroline, start.
I would keep your first-round pick. I just think it's way too valuable, and I think that there are far too many glaring needs that the Titans have. They don't just need to fill positions. They need to fill positions really, really badly. So I would say keep that first-round pick. Get your best bet at getting a good guy.
But doesn't it help you with the idea? Let's say you move back from, let's use the Green Bay example, or let's use the 2019 Baltimore trades 22 for 25 and picks up a fourth and a sixth.
If you can trade down in the first round, I mean, there are a lot of guys such as Azeez Ojulari, Elijah Moore, guys that the Titans have looked at that were still available at 24, 25, 26 in these mock drafts. So if you can move down in the first round, pick up a pretty decent guy, and then also get another fourth rounder to fill those other needs that maybe not be as glaring right now, I would do that.
So if you're,
I don't trade out of the first round.
If you're in that scenario where Newsom, Moore, Jenkins, and Ojulari are all available at 24, and you move down to 25, again, citing that Philadelphia trade, Baltimore traded 22nd to go to 25, citing that trade, you're definitely going to get one of those guys with that 25th pick, and you're adding a fourth-round pick and a sixth-round pick. I think you do that kind of trade.
I think you do that. And I think it just depends on, is there one guy that the Titans want so badly? I don't think so. I think that they're open to a few different guys at a few different positions.
Well, you have to be at 22 because there's no way to pick which player you're going to have. Even if you love a guy and you say, well, we got him ranked as the 30th best player, but we don't think he's that good. And then Indianapolis at 21 loves that player and takes him. You can't be set. You can't be dead set on a player. When you're dead set on a player, you're San Francisco. Like, that's dead set. They can't be dead set on a player. But then, okay, what about New England's trade? Last year, 23 out of the first round for 37 and 71. Again, I consider second and third round picks to be starters. And I've said with four picks in the top 100, the Titans need to come away with four starters, not four day one starters, but four long-term starters. If you make this trade, you get five starters. What do you think of that?
If you can stay in the first round, get as many bodies as you can.
Well, you can't get a second and a third. You got to move out of the first.
Then I don't know. I don't know. I get nervous about losing that first round pick. I think you need to secure one position, one guy that you feel very confident in that first round. If there is not a guy available in the first round, I mean, you can make trades all day long out of the first round. If there's no guy that is, you know, we don't want to spend a first round pick on this guy.
I'm just saying, man, a second and a third is two starters. You know, that is two. Those are two starters.
But also an opportunity of losing someone who is available.
Sure.
Who you may have to play against.
Sure. And I think it's like I'm throwing these questions out now. But these are questions Robinson probably has to go over in his head all the time. And it won't matter. He can practice this all day. He won't know what will be sitting there at 22. He'll have an idea of what's sitting there at 22, but he won't know what's there at 22. But I think that this is when we talk about trading down. Here's what you get. You trade down in the first round, you get a fourth, and then maybe some pocket change. You trade out of the first round. Let's use the New England 23. They traded out. They got a second, a high second, and a third. That's kind of what you're looking at. 37 is a high second. It's the fifth pick of the second round. A high second and a high third to trade out of the first. Those are your two options probably if you trade down from 22. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Your calls and your texts. The question is, do you think it's worth trading? And I will tell you why I think what I think about this scenario, about trading. I'll tell you that next. Stillman & Company, we're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It is Fireball Hot Take Friday. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Gosh, I love those guys. I love them not only because they do great work at my home, because they can take care of almost everything, but also because they're going to take care of you. Hiller is giving away free vacations for you and your family this month. With every purchase of a new whole home generator or select new HVAC systems, Hiller is giving you a free week-long vacation. With every purchase of a new tankless water heater, Hiller is giving you a free weekend-long vacation, and they'll pay for your gas with a $100 gas card. Choose from over 400 Marriott, Wyndham, Hilton, or Hyatt hotel properties. Take advantage of this unbelievable deal while you can, because these deals are only available for a limited time. So schedule today. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you'll be, or the service is free. I think about last May when we had those storms and I lost power for like a week. If I had had that whole home generator, not only would I have had the whole home generator that would have then turned the power back on, but I would have had a vacation. I may not have even been home. I would have had my free weekend-long vacation. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds and the Vols. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
How different is your draft board right now, 2 weeks out from the draft, than in normal years at this time?
Yeah, I think that there's some guys that we're still trying to clean up, for lack of a better term, waiting on our medical staff to compile all of the data that they had at Indy from the checks. I think it was a week ago. Still having some virtual meetings with players, talking to those guys. We're calling college coaches. We just wrapped up meetings with our coaching staff. We're meeting with our scouting staff. You know, we're still fine tuning and tweaking, and we will do so, you know, leading up to the draft.
There you go, John Robinson. Draft less than 2 weeks away. We just outlined what trading that pick at 22 would look like. If you trade out, New England last year traded out of the first round. They picked up a high second and a high third from the Chargers. Minnesota traded down. Miami traded down. Minnesota added a fourth and a fifth. Miami added a fourth. Now, they all have calculators to how to figure this out. So it's like, do you want to trade down? Okay, where do you want to trade down to? What do you pick up? Basically, my theory is, if they trade down in the first round out of 22 and they still keep a first round pick, which is the safer thing to do, especially if you've got, you know, five guys on your list that TD will be in charge of this year. If you've got five guys on your list, you're sitting there at 22. You do what Baltimore did in 2019. You trade from 22 to 25. You know you're going to get one of the guys on your list. But if you're like New England at 23 and you trade all the way to 37, I'm not sure there's a guarantee of what kind of guy you're going to get at a position that you really want. But let me say this. I take both trades. If I'm the Titans, unless somebody in this draft who just, I just, you know, am pants off for, and I don't even know who, you know, these guys are, but like the way TD feels about Elijah Moore, you know, if you're sitting there and that guy's there, then you take him. Because if the guy's got a potential to be a star player and you know in your heart or you feel in your heart like he's a star player, you have to take him. You know, there's a story Floyd told me one time that in 99, a lot of teams didn't know where Javon Kearse would play. Because when he was in college at Florida, he played all over the place. And so he played some at safety, some at linebacker, some at defensive end. And they knew they were going to make him a 4-3 defensive end and just run him off the edge. And so as the draft played out, it became more and more of a possibility that Kearse was going to fall to the Titans, so much so that when Tampa Bay got on the clock one pick before the Titans, Floyd called Tampa Bay and offered to trade. I think it was a fourth. Offered to trade from, I think it was 16 to 15. And Tampa Bay said, no, we feel pretty good about the guy we're going to take, so we're going to use the pick. So Floyd says to Rich McKay, he goes, who are you going to take? He goes, well, it's a defensive lineman. And Floyd said his heart sunk. And he goes, Booger McFarland. Floyd goes, okay, hangs up the phone. Because then he knew, okay, good. All right, I'm taking Javon Kearse.
My guy's safe.
Yep. So if that guy's there, and it's easy to say Javon Kearse because, you know, what Javon was. If you're at 22 and that guy's there and you feel like this guy is Javon Kearse, you do
it. If your heart sinks if someone else takes him?
Yes.
Right.
If there is a handful, you know, a handful of guys that are there and you can move it, do it. The New England one is interesting to me because I have gone into this saying, I don't need a superstar in the first round of this draft. I will value the effectiveness of this draft on if they get four starting players with the first four picks in the top 100. Their first round, second round, and their two-thirds. They need four starting players. You know, a slot
in
receiver.
Any particular position?
You know, right? I say no because if they get a pass rusher who's a starter, like Ojulari, and he comes in and he doesn't start right away, you know, he sits the bench for a year, Harold Landry leaves, signs a deal next year, you get that third round comp pick in return, Ojulari steps up and becomes a starter, I'm fine with that. Steve McNair sat the bench, didn't play as a rookie. Keith Bullock sat the bench, didn't start as a rookie. Cortland Finnegan was a nickel as a rookie. You know, a lot of these guys, Derrick Henry sat the bench as a rookie. So you can't just view it as, okay, what's in the best interest of the 2021 Titans? You have to think overall. That New England trade, where you trade out of the first round, but you pick up a second and a third, that would then increase the possibility that you could get five starters with those picks. I'd have a hard time saying no. Knowing that if I do that, I don't just miss Elijah Moore, but I also miss Rashad Bateman. Mm-hmm. I also miss Kadarius Toney. I also miss Terrence Marshall Jr. out of LSU, who we never talk about, by the way, but I miss on him. And then maybe I get Tutu Atwell. Like maybe the first time I get to pick, that's the best receiver who's there, Tutu Atwell out of Louisville. Or, you know, Rondale Moore out of Purdue, though I am a huge Rondale Moore fan. But if you had to say right now, like a binary choice of trade out of that pick, if that pick's there, do you trade out or not? I think I say yes. I think I say yes because if you move down to the first, you get that fourth. It could be another Amani Hooker, but it adds to the kitty, and you can still get one of those guys that we're talking about. And if you make the Patriots trade where you get a second and a third, you're hopefully adding two starters, and that would give you the possibility of five starters in the top 100 of this year's draft, you're at least, I mean, we know they're not all going to hit. You're at least going to get four starters from that or three starters from that.
So you're wanting quality and quantity.
Yes. I go back to the Titans. You know, they had four picks, I believe. They had five picks in the first three rounds in 2016. They took Jack Conklin, starter, Kevin Dodd, bust, Austin Johnson, he's a defensive tackle. He was a replaceable player. Derrick Henry, starter, Kevin Byard, starter. That's what I'm looking for. So I could make that deal. Now, again, Conklin was the eighth pick. So if you trade out of 22 and you do what the Patriots did, you pick up 37 and 71, you're not going to draft Jack Conklin. But I think you find your long, if you do that, because think about it like this. We're told this is a great receiver draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
There should be a starting slot receiver with the 37th pick, whether it's Tutu Atwell or whomever. Now, they're not going to be the best guy because Elijah Moore's probably gone at that point. Kadarius Toney's probably gone. But you can still get that slot guy. You can, in theory, get your slot guy and your long-term right tackle with that one pick. So I would say do it. But, again, that's without knowing who's going to be on the board at that time. I could pick up a mock draft, a Mel Kiper mock draft, and see no one that I love there and say, do it. I could pick up the same mock draft and say, oh, my God, no. Oh, Jalari's still there? Take him. Oh, my God, Gregory Newsom's there? Take him. I mean, even yesterday, TD, I asked him the question, you know, in Mel Kiper's latest mock draft. He's got the Titans taking Elijah Moore. Greg Newsom, the last first-round corner, goes off the board the next pick later. Would you take Newsom over? I would take Newsom over Elijah Moore, only because the value of the cornerback position to me, a starting corner plays more, affects the game more, than a slot receiver on a running team. And that may be the stupidest thing ever. Elijah Moore may develop into Antonio Brown. Greg Newsom may be Antrell Roll. You never know, but that's just, I mean, I'm just kind of putting out there that I think that a trade would be able to help.
And that's also interesting because it kind of brings me to a text that I wanted to bring to your attention.
Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
If one of the top three wide receivers fell to around 11 to 14, would you trade one of your third rounds to move up and snag a Waddle, a Devontae Smith, a Kadarius Toney?
No, I would not. Jamar Chase is the one guy in this draft. And this happened a couple of years ago where Derwin James started sliding, and I think he went off at 12. And the Titans were at 25. Like, yeah, that guy's never going to get there.
Right.
Jamar Chase is the one guy in this draft that I would give a lot up to get, just because I think he's that freaking good. Like, I think he is that good. I wouldn't do it for Kyle Pitts, who I think is probably the second best overall. Well, I think Trevor Lawrence and Jamar Chase are the two best players in the draft. I think Kyle Pitts is a very close third. I wouldn't do that for Kyle Pitts. Some people will probably call me crazy, but I wouldn't. But no, I don't think they can trade up. I think they learned their lesson in 2018. They don't want to trade up.
And I think that's putting so much stock into one player, which we saw last year. You know, they were so, so high in Isaiah Wilson. So if you put so much stock into one player and it doesn't work out, then you set yourself up for so much more difficulty in the future.
Well, I'll go a little bit further. Like, busts happen in the NFL. But like Rashawn Evans and Harold Landry are starting caliber players. They use two picks on each guy to get them, and that hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are starting caliber players that you got, but you gave up players in order to get them. And I think that's why they didn't trade up in 2019. They didn't trade up from 51 to grab AJ. I think they were holding onto their pants the whole time hoping AJ would get there. But they didn't trade up for AJ because they didn't want to put themselves in a similar spot. 615-737-1025. We'll go to your thoughts on this next. Again, the idea of trading down, what that looks like, what it means. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Hey, by the way, Preds fans, join ESPN 102.5 The Game on Wednesday from 6 to 7 for Smashville Live, featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can also watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and TheGameNashville.com. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to TheGameNashville.com/Smashville Live. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're driven by TriStar Moving. Right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Are there one or two things that you took from last year's virtual draft experience, the preparation and everything that you went through, that you were able to apply to this year's run-up that you feel like has made you more effective?
Well, like I feel like we've tapped into different sources at these colleges, and maybe got even more deep than we did last year. We were all kind of in a whirlwind last year with the entire country shutting down amidst a pandemic and, you know, no pro days and having to adjust our normal information gathering process to this virtual kind of world. You know, I think the players that we've been able to meet with, you know, three and four times, some of them, and we've gotten to all five on a lot of these guys and will on all of them. They're more comfortable. The players are a little bit more comfortable talking, you know, over this Wi-Fi connection, and they open up, you know, as we get more into an intimate setting with Mike and I visiting with them. So, we've made some adjustments about how we attack this process, knowing that we were going to be in this virtual world, certainly as it related to last year.
There you go. That was John Robinson, Titans general manager. Let me state for the record, Ian, they don't get any do-overs on virtual problems this year.
Yeah, one and done on that, huh?
Uh-huh. Yep. No, there is no coming back from, it's just so tough with Zoom interviews and we screwed it up and we, uh-huh. Yes, exactly. Time to take a look at the phones, unless anyone's got a thought. 615-737-1025. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We go to the text line where Caroline Fenton is hanging out. What's up, Caroline?
Shane from Ashland City said if you keep your first rounder and he's an okay starter, you can eventually trade him for a second or early third. Don't sell yourself short and trade for a fourth. That's dumb. I'd rather draft a bust than trade off for a fourth.
Okay, let me say this. You're not trading off the first round for a fourth. You're trading down in the first round and picking up a fourth. If you're trading out, you're getting a second and a second or a second and a third. I mean, those are the trades you make. The idea about the starter, if he's an okay starter and flipping him for a third or fourth round pick, what do you think the market would be right now for Rashawn Evans? Because Rashawn Evans is an okay starter. They're going to decline the fifth year option on Rashawn Evans. My guess is if the Titans took Rashawn Evans to the market right now, at best, they'd get a third round pick in exchange for him. Because some team would take it and then say, okay, we're going to lose him at the end of the year and maybe get a third round pick in compensation for it. Like, that's how they would look at it. So that's his value probably to other teams. So this idea of, hey, you know, you can get a third later. Right. I'm saying if you trade down and you pick up a fourth, you're trading down in the first round. You are technically getting a first round pick and a fourth round pick in return for your first round pick. It's just not as good of a first round pick.
Ben also said J-Rub put himself in this hole needing so many different positions. He has to bet himself to fix it. More picks gives better chance to hit. We need day one starters because he's wasting Henry's and Tannehill's prime. We also need long-term starters. They have to be both.
So I keep saying that these are starters with these first and second round and third round picks. But then I thought about it in my head. Isaiah Wilson was never going to be a day one starter, and he wasn't a starter. Christian Fulton was supposed to be a day one starter, but he got hurt. So if we're banking on somebody that they pick this year being a day one starter right away, that may not be fair just because of the guy may not be acclimated. He may not be ready, all those kind of things. Derrick Henry wasn't a day one starter. Albert Haynesworth wasn't a day one starter. Keith Bullock wasn't a day one starter. Steve McNair wasn't a day one starter. Like, you can't just say, okay, I just want first, you know, stay. I want Chris Johnson. I draft the guy in the first round and he just elevates my franchise the day he shows up. I'd like Chris Johnson too. But the idea that, I think if you've got four picks, a couple of those guys are starting. Like, a couple of those guys are going to play on day one, especially if it's a receiver in the slot. That guy's going to start. An offensive tackle probably doesn't start. A pass rusher probably doesn't start on this team right away, but you're still going to need it. And you're definitely going to need that guy to start next year when Landry's a free agent. So, to me, I think of these picks needing to be four-year starters, like Jayon Brown. Jayon Brown didn't start as a rookie, but Jayon Brown is a starter. That's what I need with these picks, not them to start right away. Though a couple of these guys, of those top four, you know, top four picks they have in the top 100, a couple of those guys are going to have to start.
A very important thing to remember that one of the texters reminded me, Tom Brady was drafted what round?
He was drafted 199.
Which is a very important thing to remember, that first round doesn't necessarily mean good.
First round doesn't necessarily mean good. That's part of it. The idea that you're going to go into the draft and find Tom Brady, though, is a totally different story.
Yes.
I mean,
that's a unicorn.
I don't think that you're likely to do what the Titans did by trading a fourth round pick for Ryan Tannehill, him revitalizing his career, and you having a franchise quarterback that way. I don't think that's very likely either. I think it's, I almost laugh, right? Like, Tannehill went for a fourth. Sam Darnold, who apparently they offered the 12th overall pick for, and the Jets turned it down because they weren't ready. But Sam Darnold went for a second, a fourth, and a sixth. So a guy who's obviously worn out his welcome in one place, not Sam's fault, but a guy who clearly is not what the Jets want for their franchise quarterback, the possibility that the guy could turn it around goes for a second, a fourth, and a sixth. Carson Wentz, who wanted out of Philadelphia and got the coach fired on his way out of Philadelphia and got benched for Jalen Hurts, went for a third and a conditional second that is most likely a first. So even guys that have the chance of being starting quarterbacks go for a high premium. The idea that you can trade a fourth-round pick for a guy who may be a backup and then he becomes your franchise quarterback and takes you to the playoffs 2 years in a row, that's not very likely. The idea of Tom Brady in the sixth round is even less likely.
Alternatively, I also don't think it is very likely to have happen what happened to the Titans last year. I don't think that it is very likely to draft a guy in the first round and by the next year he's gone.
I don't think that's likely. I think the possibility of a bust in the first round is always there.
Always there.
Always there. And I wouldn't say, well, last year's first round pick didn't work out, so this year's pick is going to work out. I don't feel that way. Corey Curtis was on our show earlier, News 2, and Corey was, I mean, dead set that they cannot screw up this pick this year. Okay, it's time for the money segment. It's time for Carolines.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Carolines. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
First up, we've got Twins Angels, and I picked this game because it's a lefty-lefty matchup. Lewis Thorpe goes against Andrew Heaney, Twins Angels respectively. My pick is Twins are going to win. Their bats have just been absolutely on fire. The Twins rank fifth in the league in batting average against lefties this season, .287.
Do you really care about that kind of stuff, though, on April 16th? Like, can we really look at
it? If I'm putting money on it, yeah.
I mean, because you did that with the Braves and the Marlins and the over-under, and, you know, they scored 20 runs. You know, you went
That's
under
fair.
Because they weren't hitting the ball well, and then they combined for 20 runs.
But how many times have the Marlins scored 14 runs this season?
That is true. But I guess what I'm saying is I feel like you need, like, deeper. Like, the Twins versus – how many left-handed starters have the Twins faced? And they're only hitting .287. It's not like they're hitting .400 against
the Angels, .236.
Okay, but how many left-handed starters have these two teams faced?
I don't know.
Okay, so, like, I mean, on April 16th, they probably faced one or two lefties this year.
Well, if I'm putting my money on it, I'm just going to grab any nuggets I possibly can get.
I'm going to go with the Angels. Here's why I'm going to go with the Angels. They have better players. The Twins have a nice team. The Angels have Shohei Ohtani.
Twins have the best bats in the league right now.
Sure. But I'll take, and like, right, you know, they got Byron Buxton, who apparently looks like, you know, he was supposed to be a top prospect, never really made it. Now it looks like he's starting to make it. The Twins are fine. They're a good team.
They're a good team.
I'm going to take Mike Trout. I'm going to take Shohei Ohtani. I'm going to take David Fletcher. I'm going to take Anthony Rendon. I'm going to take the Angels tonight. That game is in...
It's in L.A.
Okay, I feel good. I'm going to take the Angels.
Since my baseball picks are not so hot, I decided to choose a lock. Sabres Penguins, taking Penguins -1.5.
You just pick against the Sabres every night, don't you?
Yeah, because that's an easy pick.
Sabres are hot right now. That's dangerous. Sabres won last night. Straight up. Just a heads up.
Can the Sabres win two in a row?
Who did you take against the Sabres last night? Didn't you take somebody against the Sabres last night?
I did.
Who'd you take?
Who played the Sabres last night?
I mean, I took them too because I just don't trust the Sabres.
Washington. I think they beat Washington.
They beat Washington?
Peter!
You know that was a short press conference post game.
Oh my God.
5-2 last night too.
They're sneaky hot right now. For whatever reason. But you're right, back to back is not gonna be easy.
Yeah, no, I'll take the Penguins in this one too. Are the Penguins good? Like, yeah, they're gonna make the playoffs this year. But I don't even know who their goalie is. Is it Tristan Jarry?
It was Pittsburgh. Yeah, it was Tristan Jarry who did play last night. But he was been injured, and Casey DeSmith has been playing a lot too.
Like, I mean, I don't even know who the Penguins are anymore. They're going to make the playoffs this year, but is it that same core that won the cup against the Predators? I don't think it is. I think there's a lot of changes.
I think for the most part, Crosby's still there, Gensel's still there, Rust is still there, McCann is still there.
Was McCann there in the cup final?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think he was.
No, I don't think he was during the cup final.
I mean, I think when I think back to that group, I think about like Brian Dumoulin.
No, he's not there, I don't think.
Obviously,
no,
Malkin,
he is there. He is still there. I think Malkin's been hurt.
Yeah, Malkin's always hurt. Okay, what else do we have?
Those are my top two picks for the night. Do you have anything for me?
No, I don't. I just want to pick against the Predators tomorrow again. I think the Carolina's going to get it done. And I know people are going to get all mad and get all worked up and Jared's picking against Predators. But this is a prove it game. It's prove it to me. Prove something. So I don't know what the line is going to be. If it was 1.5 like yesterday, I think I would take Carolina minus 1.5.
I think I would take Preds plus 1.5.
You took the Preds plus 1.5 yesterday.
I know. I don't think they're going to get beat by more than 2 goals twice in a row. But I might be wrong.
See, the empty netter is what screws you up in hockey.
Yeah.
You know, in that regard. But if it's 1.5 again for tomorrow night's game, I'm going to take Carolina. And I would be comfortable losing because I need John Hines and the Predators to prove to me that they can win. So I'm putting the onus on them. Like, when I say you got to prove to me, the assumption normally is the opposite, right? Like, you have to prove to me that you can watch my dog. Doesn't that mean in my heart that I feel like right now, before you prove to me that you're responsible enough to watch my dog, that my assumption is that you can't watch my dog? That you're not responsible enough to watch my dog?
What if it's 2.5?
Preds.
Preds.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a one-goal game.
I think I would just moneyline it at that point.
Yeah. But, I am betting Carolina. I am hoping the Predators win. But they need to win. But they're going to have to prove it to me. 615-737-1025. Those are Carolines. We will wrap the show up next. Plus, I am overly excited. There is something about to happen, like in the immediate future, that I am overly excited about. We'll touch on that next. Caroline Fenton is here. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. You know what season it is. Moving season. If you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. At TriStar Moving, you'll get 5-star service throughout the entire process. Everything, and I mean everything, will be taken care of. From covering your floors, banisters, railings, and front door thresholds, they'll even wrap and protect all of your furniture and put all of your TVs in protective boxes. They took great care of all of my move, and they will make it as stress-free as possible. They even have a brand new state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet just for you. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashville, and they care about helping this community just as much as they care about growing their business. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. 615-640-1219. Or visit their website, nationalmoving.org/radio. They'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving at 615-640-1219. nationalmoving.org/radio. TriStar Movers, my official movers. Stillman and Company tonight. The first of a 3-game set, Vandy Baseball taking on Tennessee. ESPNU, number one Vandy Baseball. Jack Leiter gets the ball, top 10 Tennessee. Apparently, Caroline, you were saying that tickets on the secondary market, $300. Let me say this. SEC baseball, not my favorite. I don't mind watching college baseball. I'm just not the biggest college baseball guy in the world. I am a guy who focuses on what moves the needle. And in this town, the Preds and the Titans move the needle. If Nashville SC does something crazy, that would move the needle. If Vanderbilt football got good, that would move the needle. If the Vols got good, that would move the needle. But basically, Titans, Predators, and then UT being good are really bad. That's what moves the needle. I think this game's got some juice. I think this series has some juice. I'm excited to watch tonight Vandy baseball with the number one pick. I think the best Vandy prospect they have had, better than David Price, tonight against Tennessee, the best baseball team they've had in God knows how long. I am excited about Vandy and Tennessee baseball this weekend. Tonight, right after we're off the air, ESPNU, Vandy versus UT.
And I'm a huge college baseball fan. I graduated from a big college baseball school. I loved it. I had a blast. And I think the best part about this is that we're talking about Tennessee baseball, tickets being sold for almost $350. I think that is so great for the Tennessee baseball program. I heard that there's being a ton of money being pumped into baseball operations, a ton of money for baseball facilities, and that's how you build a big program. You know, you get recruits whenever you have the fancy, shiny things they're able to show them, and that's just not something that Tennessee baseball has had in the past. It's something that Vandy has had. Vandy is such a powerhouse baseball program, but I'm excited that Tennessee baseball's on the up and up. There's got to be something good in Knoxville, so I'm happy for Tennessee baseball, and I'm happy that this can be a Vandy-Tennessee rivalry, because you're not going to see that in football. You're not going to see that in basketball.
So, I mean, like I just tweeted out something, you know, everybody in Boston is all fired up because Craig Smith is scoring right now for the Bruins, and it's like, oh, Craig Smith's red hot.
He's
finally come along.
You love Craig Smith.
I tweeted out and I said, death taxes, and somebody thinking that a Craig Smith hot streak is in any way sustainable. It's not. The Bruins are going to make the playoffs. Craig Smith's going to do nothing, and the fans are going to hate him. I already know what's going to happen. I've seen it enough in my life. Tennessee's got to have some sustained success. I mean, they got to start making the NCAA tournament. They got to get the Super Regionals. They got to do that before. I mean, to me, this is just a roles reversed. You know, normally in football, or for the most part, I mean, basketball's kind of even, but in football, it has really been more so Tennessee's over here, Vandy's over here, and when Vandy wins, it's a big upset. In baseball, I mean, Vandy is up here.
Yeah.
And Tennessee is way away from competing at that level, but it'll be interesting to see them try. Okay, it's time now for the worst take of the day.
The worst take on today's show, as presented by Caroline Fenton.
My worst take of the day goes to everyone who isn't calling last night's loss to Carolina a big deal. I think it's a big deal, and I don't understand why everyone is saying it was just one loss, it's just one game. It's a big deal. It's a big deal in terms of the standings, it's a big deal in terms of points, and it's a big deal in terms of momentum for this team moving forward.
So I think it's very, I get disappointed or find it to be very disingenuous when you say something is a big game, then you lose the big game, and then you act like, well, it was just one game. Because last night I said on the show, I think this is a big game. And I stand by that. I mean, I think they lost a big game last night. I think it makes tomorrow night's game even bigger. But yeah, I think it's really, really disingenuous when you try to sell something off as a big game. If it's only one game, then why ever watch? Why watch? You know, I mean, if you're just going to sit there and say, yeah, you know, it's one game.
Every game is one game.
And there's a certain element to that of truth. I mean, like the Braves, you know, I'm a big baseball fan. The Braves have started off like 5-8. And I'm not worried about the team. And I don't like when they lose. I'm not worried about it. But
baseball is also in such a different position right now.
Right.
It's not
April.
October.
Right.
Yeah.
It's April. So, no, I would agree with you. That's going to do it for us. Moneyline is coming up next. Caroline Fenton, good week. We will see you all Monday at 2 o'clock. Enjoy the weekend. Tons of sports, great weather. We will see you Monday at 2.